from VOA, the science edition of Press Conference USA. Here's your host, Rick Pantaleo.
Welcome to the science edition of Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. I'm Rick Pantaleo. Are science and religion compatible with each other, or are they mutually exclusive? The science versus religion debate has been ongoing for centuries. Some trace its alleged contentious relationship to the early to mid-17th century, when famed physicist and astronomer Galileo Galilei was arrested, tried, and found guilty of heresy by the Catholic Church. Why? Because he supported and confirmed theories by Polish astronomer Nicholas Copernicus that the Earth and other planets circled the Sun, which contradicted a teaching of the Church that held Earth was the center of the universe. Months after his conviction, Galileo recanted his belief in the Copernican theory, but continued to be under house arrest until his death. In 1925, science and religion famously butted heads again when a Tennessee high school science teacher named John Scopes was arrested and tried for violating the state's law against teaching Darwin's theory of evolution. In a trial that garnered worldwide attention, Scopes was found guilty and fined $100. The guilty verdict was later overturned on a technicality. The religion versus science argument of creationism and evolution continues today in the United States, with believers saying both should be taught in public schools and non-believers saying only evolution should be taught. A number of scientists today, including my first guest, contend that religion and science are contradictory to each other and that a person must choose between the two. But there are also others, including my second guest, who argue that the debate between science and religion is a fallacy and that both are actually quite compatible with each other. We'll examine both sides of the science versus religion debate in two segments of today's program. My guest for the first segment is Jerry Coyne, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Ecology and Evolution at the University of Chicago, and an author whose latest book, called Faith Versus Fact, Why Science and Religion Are Incompatible. Professor Coyne, your most recent book, Faith Versus Fact, Why Science and Religion Are Incompatible, why do you say that the two can't mix and that you must choose between them?
This depends on, I'm very careful about defining what I mean by incompatible, so I'll have to explain that very briefly. First of all, science and religion are compatible in the sense that you can be a religious scientist or you can be a religious person who likes science. So in that way, in the idea that you can be both at the same time, you can consider them compatible. But what I construe as incompatible means realizing, which is the fact, that both religion and science make claims about the nature of the cosmos, reality claims, empirical claims about what is, what exists. And if you accept that, and that's manifestly true, then when you try to figure out, well, whether these fact claims you make are true or not, and how do you know they're true, then science and religion become incompatible because science has a way of figuring out which truth claims are in fact true, and religion has no way of doing that. So in that sense, in being able to adjudicate the things that you assert are true about the universe, science has a way of doing it, religion can't. And the two ways that they set about doing it are incompatible.
In a related question, Jerry, in your book, you also define science and religion. You have specific definitions of both. Can you give us a bit of a summary on your definitions?
It could be either a job, like I'm a scientist, or the facts of science. I prefer to think of science, and most scientists would agree with this, as a toolkit, a set of methods developed over the centuries that enable you to figure out what's true. Those methods include observation, making hypotheses, testing those hypotheses, consensus amongst independent investigators, pervasive climate of doubt, so you're always questioning yourself and others. So it's basically a set of methods that have been developed trial and error since the 16th century when science began. Religion, you know, it's a somewhat slippery subject. I can't remember how I define it in the book, but it's, you know, basically the worship of a superior divine being to whom propitiation must be made and who interacts with the world in a sort of theistic way.
Do you find that most scientists tend to be atheists?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not just that I find that. It's what the data tell you. So I think amongst all scientists, 40%, I believe, don't hold me to that because I'm just remembering what's on the internet surveys, are atheists. And then if you go up a notch and say, well, what percentage of scientists at elite universities are atheists, then it goes up to like 60 to 70%. And if you go to the highest level of scientific achievement, which is membership in the National Academy of Scientists, 97% of the members are avowed atheists, which is almost exactly the reverse of the public as a whole, which is anywhere between like, you know, 4 and 10% atheists. Yeah, in general, scientists tend to be a lot more atheistic than the average American.
Back to your compatibility issue, it's been estimated that there are roughly 4,200 religions in the world. Now, 4,200 religions, that's a lot. Science isn't compatible with any of them?
Well, science is incompatible with any religion that makes truth claims and has no way to figure out those claims. So, for example, it's incompatible with Christianity because it makes claims about the nature of God, the fact that he had a son that was both him and the son was killed and then resurrected, was born of a virgin, those kinds of claims, or that Allah, if you're a Muslim, had Angel Gabriel dictate the Quran to Muhammad. Those are truth claims about what happened. Same with Mormonism, that Joseph Smith dug up the golden plates and that the angel Moroni showed him and that he deciphered them with the peep stone. So most religions, at least certainly all the Abrahamic religions and most shamanistic religions that we're familiar with, do make claims of that sort about divine beings, ancestors, etc. I can think of a very few religions, almost none in fact, that don't make claims about the truth. I guess Quakerism is one of them. I've been to Quaker services and as best I can determine, they don't make any truth claims. It's sort of a communal kind of thing. But if you define religion as belief in a supreme being that to which one must give fealty, then right off the bat, that's a truth claim. And insofar as most religions make that claim, then yes, they're incompatible with science.
Jerry, going back to something you brought up a little earlier, that someone with a strong faith in a supreme being or practices a certain religion can or cannot function as a science, you indicated that that's possible. What about situations such as Pope Francis, for example, is a great example. He's the head of one of the world's largest denominations. As the Pope, he seems to have embraced science by declaring scientific concepts such as evolution and the Big Bang Theory are real. And remark he made, I thought was pretty good, was that God is not a magician with a magic wand. Your thoughts?
Well, that sounds good, but if you examine the Catholic Church, it's not, in fact, the case. I mean, first of all, look at the things that Pope Francis believes. Presumably, he believes in the resurrection. Presumably, he believes in the Trinity. Presumably, he believes in the Catholic doctrine that the Eucharist, that the wine and the wafer become the blood and the body of Christ, literally, not figuratively. Those are all beliefs that are beliefs about the way things are and have no scientific basis for them at all. So insofar as the Pope has a set of naturalistic beliefs that are his religious beliefs, he's not acting as a scientist at all. He's taking the Catholic doctrine, which is based on dogma, authority, and revelation, as the way to figure out what things are true. That's an incompatibility. Now, on the other side, look at what the Catholic Church really says about science. First of all, it claims that humans are unique and that they have a soul, and that our dogs and cats don't have souls. And there's no evidence whatsoever for a soul. So here's the Pope making a scientific claim about distinguishing humans from other animals that no evolutionist that I know of, except maybe Catholic ones, would accept. There's no evidence for a soul. Where did the soul appear in our ancestry from our ape-like ancestors? And another thing the Catholic Church espouses, and this is dogma, it was expounded in 1950, is that Adam and Eve are the literal ancestors of humanity. That is, all of us descend, not just metaphorically, but physically, from two people, Adam and Eve, and that you are not allowed to disbelieve that. That's what the De Humani Generis doctrine said in 1950. So that, right off the bat, is completely anti-evolutionary, because you can calculate from population genetics, and I'm one of those people, what the minimum size of the human species, Homo, would have ever been. You can do that by looking at the amount of genetic variation we harbor, how much mutations occur, et cetera. And the smallest it ever could have been was 12,500. So that's not two, which is the Adam and Eve theory, or eight if you take the Noah's Ark theory. So all the though the Catholic Church says, you know, we're down with evolution, we're down with science, they make claims that are explicitly contradictory to what scientists believe. And they make those claims because they're religiously based and because it's hard to reject those claims. So a person who claims to be down with science and yet believes in a lot of religious dogma at the same time is manifestly dividing their mind into two watertight compartments. And that's sort of one of the effects of this sort of contradiction between the two ways of looking at the world.
Going back to talking about atheism and scientists, you're speaking mostly about American scientists tending to be atheists. I read in a 2015 worldwide survey from Rice University, Elaine Eklund was the principal investigator of how scientists view religion. She says that more than half the scientists in India, Italy, Taiwan, and Turkey self-identify as religious. So is this more of a national or cultural type of phenomena?
Well, it depends on, I mean, of course, those countries you mentioned are religious countries. In countries like India, for example, which is deeply religious, or Turkey, which is becoming increasingly religious, yeah, you're going to have a lot more scientists that say they're religious there. That doesn't say anything about the compatibility of science and religion. You know, in India, for example, before they launch a rocket or a satellite, the head of the Astrophysics Institute goes to the temple and prays to his or her particular god for a successful launch. That's about as big an example of incompatibility as I could think of between religion and science. So just because more scientists are religious in some country doesn't have anything to say about, you know, whether science and religion are compatible. It just shows that more people have this form of cognitive dissonance about what they believe. I mean, when a scientist goes into his or her lab, they leave their religion at the door. There's no scientist in the world that will figure out the results of an experiment by divine revelation or by looking at scripture. They abandon God. Atheism is part and parcel of doing science. You assume that no divine forces are at work, and that's the only way science has progressed and the only way it can progress. So it's a very odd position to be a religious scientist. I'm not one of them, because when you enter the church, you give up all your scientific doubts and skepticism. When you enter your lab, you give up all your religious beliefs.
Regarding the debate between science and religion, Jerry, what role do you think political ideology, such as liberal versus conservative, has to do with the debate?
Well, conservatives tend to be a little less down with science. At least, I know I can only speak for America, but it's also true of some other countries like Turkey. Conservatives tend to be more anti-scientific than liberals, and the more religious you are, the less you trust science, or the less you accept it. It's a very odd position because, for example, in the United States, conservatives will claim that they know more about evolution than liberals. I mean, for example, if a conservative asks, do evolutionists believe this, do evolutionists believe that, they will give the correct answer more often than liberals do. But then if asked whether they accept it or not, then they answer no. So, I mean, most of the opposition to evolution in this country comes from, in fact, all of it comes from religion, and much of that is from religious conservatives. I guess it was in Obama's first election when they had the big presidential debate amongst the Republicans, and there were nine candidates, and they asked those who accepted evolution to raise their hand, and none of them did. None. Democrats, I don't believe they asked that question, but they have espoused no, at least our leaders have espoused no doubts about evolution. So there is a deep connection between conservatism and at least evolution science, also climate warming science, and that's largely because opposition to evolution is religiously based, and religion tends to be connected with a certain political viewpoint, which is on the right.
If you happen to sit down with someone who is incredibly religious and perhaps were skeptical about science, what would you do to convince them that your way of thinking is correct, and what would you say, and why should they accept science as fact?
It's easy to do that. You just ask that person, well, have you ever taken antibiotics before? Have you ever had a vaccination? Do you use a cell phone? Do you ride in airplanes? And they're going to say yes, because who hasn't? And, you know, almost everybody, you know, uses the scientifically based Western medicine to cure themselves. Now, there are a few religious cults that abjure medicine, but Anybody that does that is implicitly trusting the results of science. So you don't have to argue with them about whether their religion is right. You can prove to them just by their very behavior that they have accepted the results of science, because the way they live their entire lives is predicated on the fact that science has found out things that are true and useful. Convincing somebody that science gives us the right results is not difficult. Convincing them that their religion is not necessarily true is much more difficult.
Jerry Coyne, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today.
Sure, my pleasure.
That was Jerry Coyne, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Ecology and Evolution at the University of Chicago, and an author whose latest book is called Faith Versus Fact: Why Science and Religion Are Incompatible. You're listening to the Science Edition of Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. I'm your host, Rick Pantaleo. I'd like to remind you that Press Conference USA is available for free download on iTunes. You can find the download by clicking on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com/PCUSA. We would also like to know what you think of VOA's Press Conference USA and would appreciate it if you would take our brief online survey. You can find it on our Facebook page at Carol Castiel VOA. Thank you for your help as we work to improve Press Conference USA for you. Let's continue with today's Science Edition of Press Conference USA. We're discussing the science versus religion debate. Are the two compatible with each other, or are they mutually exclusive? My guest in this segment is Stephen Barr, president of the Society of Catholic Scientists and a professor in the Department of Physics and Astronomy at the University of Delaware in Newark, Delaware. Professor Barr, there are those who say that science and faith cannot coexist and that each are contradictory to the other. Your thoughts?
Historically speaking, that is kind of an absurd position. Most of the great scientists who founded modern science, starting with Copernicus and Galileo and Newton and Boyle and Kepler and so on, were deeply religious. And in fact, most of the great scientists until, well, maybe the mid-19th century, were religious people. So the idea that there have been two kind of warring camps, the scientific camp and the religious camp, is historically nonsensical. In fact, for most of the history of science, the religious people and the scientific people were the same people.
But, Professor Barr, you bring up Galileo. Wasn't there a problem between Galileo and the Catholic Church?
There was. But, of course, what people don't realize, Galileo himself was a devout Catholic all his life. So that battle was a terrible blunder on the part of the Church, a terrible tragedy. But what people don't realize is that that was, in some sense, the exception that proved the rule. I'm a Catholic, so I'll speak about the Catholic Church in particular, has had actually a remarkable positive record when it comes to science. Many branches of science were actually founded by scientists who were Catholic priests. This is something that most people aren't aware of. People have heard of Gregor Mendel, who founded the science of genetics, but how many people realize that the Big Bang Theory was founded by a theoretical physicist who was a Catholic priest, Georges Lemaître? There's a lot more to the story than Galileo.
Some of those who espouse that there is a contradiction between science and faith also go on to say that science has made religion obsolete. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't see how they can possibly say that. Science tells us a tremendous amount about the physical world. It doesn't answer all questions. It doesn't answer, for example, why there is a world, why there is a real universe. It doesn't explain why the universe is orderly and lawful, for example. It doesn't tell us anything about right and wrong, or good and evil, love, and so on, the human destiny, how we should live our lives. So there's a lot that science tells us, but there's a lot that science doesn't tell us by its very nature.
What are some of the areas where faith and religion can provide answers that science can't?
Why is there a world? Why is there a universe? Why is it lawful? Why these remarkable, profoundly intricate mathematical laws that govern our universe? Why are there such laws? That tells us that there's a mind behind things. The universe is based on very deep mathematical ideas.
Your website, the website of your organization, cites a quote from the late Pope St. John Paul II,
right,
that members of the Church who are active scientists be of service to those who are attempting to integrate the worlds of science and religion into their own intellectual and spiritual lives. Now,
right,
how does the Society of Catholic Scientists fulfill that challenge?
I'm glad you mentioned us. We just started a year ago, and already we have 500 members, research scientists, and we're growing every day. Our group is largely for fellowship among Catholic scientists, for spiritual fellowship, intellectual fellowship. Also, we want to witness to the world that there is a harmony between the life of science and a life of faith. We have conferences. We had a very successful first conference was in Chicago in April, and we had about 100 scientists come, as well as some other scholars. And we had planned to have annual conferences, various workshops, discussion groups, lectures, series, and many other things. Though we're just starting out, so a lot of this is on the drawing board still.
Did it come out of a shared concern over perhaps peer pressure from other non-believing scientists on those who do believe?
Not so much peer pressure. I would say scientists who are religious, and I should emphasize to your listeners that a large proportion of scientists are religious, but they tend to keep a little bit quiet about it in the academic world. They don't go wearing it on their sleeve or trumpeting their religious beliefs. As a result, many people don't realize how many scientists are religious or are specifically Catholic. And that can lead to a sense of isolation for young Catholic scientists. Many of their colleagues, many of their professors, many of the leading people in their fields might be religious, might be Catholic, but they're not aware of it. And because, as I say, people tend to keep this kind of thing private in the past. And as a result, there can be a certain sense of isolation that they have. And so this is to bring people out of the closet, if you will, religious scientists, especially Catholic scientists, so that they are aware of each other's existence, they can have fellowship with each other. And I think this is one of the important purposes we'll serve.
I know that your organization is a Catholic-based organization, but do you and other members of your society work with scientists who subscribe to other faiths?
Well, actually, at our first conference, we had two rather eminent scientists who are not Catholic. Our keynote speaker was one of the world's leading cosmologists who is religious, but he's Protestant, not Catholic. And one of our other eminent invited speakers was Robert Berwick of MIT, who is Jewish. I'm not sure what his stance on religion is, actually, but he is a Jewish, not Catholic. So we certainly are not isolating ourselves from other people, not only people of other faiths, but certainly I expect we'll have non-believers speak at our conferences and be involved in our activities as well.
Professor Barr, you're with the Department of Physics and Astronomy at the University of Delaware.
Correct.
In your work in the sciences, do you find conflict with the work you're doing and your faith?
No, on the contrary. I've always found it strange that people think there's some sort of a tension or conflict. In fact, people often say, how do you reconcile being a scientist and being religious? There's nothing to reconcile because both the same thing is at the root of religious belief and scientific inquiry, a sense of wonder, a sense of curiosity, a belief that the world makes sense, a belief that everything holds together in some coherent way. Scientific atheism is a relatively recent phenomenon. Take one of the greatest founders of modern science, Kepler, who discovered the three laws of planetary motion. He said, in announcing one of his discoveries, he said, I thank you, Lord God, our Creator, that you have allowed me to see the beauty in your work of creation. And that was the attitude of most scientists for centuries. They didn't see themselves as somehow doing science in opposition to religion. They saw their discoveries as showing forth the beauty of God's creation. They were uncovering the deep beauty and harmony of the created world. And that is also, as Catholic scientists of our organization, that continues to be our attitude.
Professor, we've been talking about the conflict between science and religion. Do you see that this is a legitimate argument or a legitimate debate? Or is this
a non-starting
theory?
Questions that can arise, and,
right.
And how certain discoveries of science fit in or do not fit in, according to some people, with a religious view of the world. That's certainly a very legitimate discussion. There are, however, some militant atheists who want to claim that you cannot be a scientist and be religious, that somehow the two worlds simply don't mix. I think that's arrogant. And it's not only arrogant, it's highly disrespectful to many of their scientific colleagues who are religious. I'm not going to be excommunicated from the world of science by some people like Richard Dawkins who claim that I can't be a scientist and be religious. About half the scientists in this country believe in God. a personal God. So I think really the aggression is coming from the side of atheist scientists who think that somehow they have to show that you can't be religious and be scientific at the same time. That's really not, as I said, respectful to their colleagues. Our group, the Society of Catholic Scientists, has some of the top scientists in the world in it. We have one of the top evolutionary biologists in the world is on our board, Martin Novak of Harvard University, one of the top superstring theorists in the world. The person who wrote the most cited paper in the history of theoretical particle physics, which is my field, is a member of our group. So we have some of the top scientists in the world. How these atheist scientists can go around saying that you can't be a scientist and be religious at the same time, that's arrogant. For most of history, atheists have tended to believe, this goes back to ancient times, atheists have tended to believe the world had no beginning, that it was past eternal, infinitely old, that the universe has always been around. Mm-hmm. This has been the preferred belief also of atheists in modern times. The idea that the world had a beginning a finite time ago, maybe 100 years ago, was regarded by some people as a relic of religious superstition or religious mythology. And so it came as a shock to atheists that the universe had a beginning. The Big Bang Theory was not shocking to religious people. In fact, it was enthusiastically embraced in 1950 by Pope Pius XII. The main physicist who formulated the Big Bang Theory was a Belgian priest and theoretical physicist named Georges Lemaître, often called the father of the Big Bang Theory. He had to warn Pope Pius XII privately, don't get too enthusiastic about the Big Bang Theory because it might turn out to be wrong. So the church actually embraced it, the Pope embraced it very enthusiastically in 1950 already. So no, there's no conflict between the idea that the universe had a beginning and religious belief. And you may be thinking about sort of biblical fundamentalists who think the world is 10,000 years old or 6,000 years old. That's never been official teaching of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church does not subscribe to this kind of narrow literalist reading of Genesis. And as you may know, the Catholic Church never condemned the theory of evolution.
That was my next question, creationism versus evolution.
Yeah, I mean, the Catholic Church has never condemned the theory of evolution. The first statement by the Catholic Church on evolution didn't happen until 1950. That was almost 100 years after Darwin's Origin of Species. The Church basically took a fairly hands-off attitude. The Church has never had a problem with the idea that species evolve and evolve by some natural process of evolution. In fact, St. Augustine in the 5th century had suggested the idea that the universe, including living things, evolve in a natural way. There are tricky questions having to do with human origins and whether humans are distinct, you know, or how we are different from other animals. Do we have a spiritual soul, for example? So there are theological issues when it comes to human origins and human nature that are important, but the Church has never condemned evolution.
And then again, there's the new argument regarding genetic manipulation, cloning, genetic insights into medicine, and so forth.
Right. The Church does object to certain kinds of medical research, as I think all civilized people do. You know, there are many kinds of experimentation on humans that I think any civilized person would be against. You know, there are shocking examples, even in the United States in the past, where experiments were done on human beings, terrible violations of human rights. I mean, you have to be very careful when it comes to scientific experimentation. Not everything goes. You have to keep in mind moral values. You have to keep in mind, you know, right and wrong. Just because something's scientific doesn't mean it all can do anything that you have the power to do. For example, the destruction of human embryos. Any experimentation that destroys human life would be objected to on moral grounds. Now, that's not in opposition to science. It's a moral position. For example, we don't believe that every kind of technological activity is good, even if it destroys the environment. You know, there are moral constraints upon science and technology.
And finally, Professor Barr, if you had a chance to sit down with one of your atheist colleagues and someone who felt very strongly that you can't be a scientist and be religious at the same time, what would you tell them? How would you sit down and convince them that what they're thinking is wrong?
There are some people who are very vocal who say that, the Richard Dawkinses, for example. But most scientists, even atheist scientists, aren't that extreme. Most atheist scientists know that many of their colleagues are religious. and they work with him. I write papers and collaborate on scientific research with colleagues who are religious, with colleagues who are atheists. Most scientists are fairly tolerant in that regard and have a live and let live attitude. The ones you hear out in the public saying you can't be religious and scientific at the same time represent a very small minority of people, even a very small minority of scientists who are atheists.
Professor Stephen Barr, thank you so much for taking time to join our conversation today.
Thank you.
That was Stephen Barr, president of the Society of Catholic Scientists and professor in the Department of Physics and Astronomy at the University of Delaware in Newark, Delaware. And that's all the time we have on this science edition of Press Conference USA. Thanks so much for listening. This is Rick Pantaleo reminding you to join Carol Castiel next week for another Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.